Open your Bibles here this morning to Psalm 116. And we found ourselves this morning in Psalm 116. The title of my message here this morning is The Believer's Gracious God. The Believer's Gracious God. Psalm 116. Verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth. And Father, I thank you for being a good and gracious God. And Lord, you hold our right hands, Lord. Lord, you lead us as the good shepherd. And Lord, you know your sheep. You call them all by name. Father, we're your people and the sheep of your pasture. So bless us as we gather around your word. Lord, feed us with your heavenly manna. Sustain us by your wisdom, your power. Thank you for being almighty God. So Lord, bless us and bless your word to our hearts. Help me be a vessel that brings glory and honor to your name, honors your son, your word, and builds up your kingdom. So Lord, thank you for all that you do in and through us, and thank you for each one that's here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, Psalm 116 is a very personal psalm. If you look at it, you'll notice all the pronouns that are there. It's a psalm that just, you can hear the psalmist's heart here as he just pens these words. And the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. You know, for a Christian, there needs to be that deep-seated love for God. The psalmist, just as he starts to pen these words, the first words he puts down, he goes, I love the Lord. Now, how do you tell God's people from those that don't know God? They love God. They love God. They want to honor God. We want to honor God in all that we say and do because we belong to Him. Now, has anybody ever done anything for you? I remember hearing a story one time years ago down in Florida. There was a lifeguard and some fellow was out in the surf, and I guess it was a riptide or something caught him and was taking him out, and he was struggling, and the lifeguard went out and swam out there and brought the guy in safely. Now, if you were that guy that was drowning, and you had somebody bring you in, how would you feel about that guy? Would you have some appreciation for that guy that he heard you, he heard your cry, and you knew you were going down for the last time, and that hand just grabbed you and drug you to shore? Would you have some feelings? You sure would. And you know, for God, that when we're on that slope of sin and we're just going to hell's gate, and God just reached down and saved your soul and lifted you up and set your feet upon the rock of Christ, should you have some feelings about God? You know, the psalmist, he can't contain himself almost. It's like when he had that pen in his hand and it hit the paper, he says, I love the Lord. It just was there. It was just inside of him. Now, for believers, for us Christians, do we look ahead at his coming? Is Jesus coming again? Does that give you some hope? It sure does. I mean, you look in this world, what do you see in the world? Coronavirus. You know, you see in Washington just such dysfunction. I mean, you're talking about dysfunctional homes? How about a dysfunctional Congress? You know what I'm saying? It's there. Everywhere we look, you see problems. But what gives us hope? I'm looking for my Savior to come back. You know what I'm saying? He's going to rule and reign in this world. And he's going to make the crooked straight. And it's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. We'll be with God that great day when that trumpet blows. We're looking ahead. But one thing the psalmist does here in verse 2, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. You know, he's looking back. You know, we look forward, but we can look back too. And the psalmist is looking back and thinking of all the times that he's prayed to God and God's heard his voice and answered his prayer. You know, if you were to count God's answered prayers in your life, it probably amazes you how many prayers he answered. And sometimes we just take it for granted. We just take things for granted. We don't even think about it. You know, we go on a trip and we pray for safety, and unbeknown to you, there was, you know, something that could have been devastating to you, and God in his mercy just had that stoplight turn red. So does 30 seconds make a big difference? How about 5 seconds in an intersection? You know, I've heard of people that you know, they just run a stop sign and they T-bone somebody. Would have 5 seconds made a difference? Absolutely. Those 5 seconds between impact or you're safe. How many times have we prayed for safety and God gets us there safely and back and we don't even think about it? We just life goes on. But the psalmist is thinking all the times that he prayed and God heard his voice, and he's in gratitude. He's just thanking God for hearing his prayers. You know, if you were to start naming the things, you ever prayed for a job? Did God give you a good job? Did you ever pray for a spouse, a wife, a husband, and God gave you a good wife or husband? Are you thankful for that? You ever prayed for the health of your child when they got a fever and they're very sick and you pray over them and God, heal my child. And in a few days, they're up and running about your house and you're wondering, man, where'd that kid get all that energy from? You know what I'm saying? You know, they get their energy back. You know, all the prayers that God has answered over the years. And the psalmist is starting, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. And my supplications, the word supplication means entreaties or the desires of my heart or my pleadings with God. He heard these things. He heard them. Verse 2 says, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You ever been at a store and the clerk that you're trying to wait on is a little frazzled? They got 10 people pulling them at the same time, and you have a need and you want to talk to them, but you can't talk to them because they're so busy. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? You just can't get done what you need to get done because they're so busy. Have you ever thought about this? God is never too busy for you. You ever thought about that? That whenever you have a need and you drop to your knees, God is right there. He's never too busy for you. You know, the psalmist here, he says, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore I'll call upon him as long as I live. How do people communicate? What makes good communication? If I talk to somebody and they talk back. Now, if I talk to somebody and they don't say anything back to me, is that good communication? No, it's not happening, is it? You know, I can be saying all I want to. You ever felt like that? Wives, you ever talk to your husband and they're going, and you know they're not listening to you. You know, it's just like you're talking to yourself. And, you know, that's not good communication. But good communication happens when I speak and somebody responds. I speak and they respond. And that's how you get that communication going. When God's word speaks to you, he's speaking to you. And when you pray, you're speaking back to God. Then God's word speaks to you, and you speak back to God. Guess what's happening? You got communication happening. He speaks to you, you speak back to him. And in a believer's life, we want to develop that communication and that communion with God, that prayer life. For the psalmist here, he said, as long as I live, in verse 2, I want to call upon God. Therefore, I'll call upon him as long as I live. Wives, let me ask you a question here. If your husband only talked to you for 2 or 3 minutes a day, how would you feel? How would you feel if your husband only talked to you 2 or 3 minutes, maybe five, give you five? How would you feel if he just gave you 5 minutes a day? Would you feel a little slighted? You know, sometimes people think they do God's service, just have a short little prayer. Maybe they pray over their food. That's all prayer they have all day. How do you think God feels? Because where he goes, where I go, he goes. And he knows everything. There was a man one time, very famous General Rice, and he was in his office. And now this happens when you get older. He was with another fella, and this fella made this observation. He was at his desk, and he goes, where'd I put my glasses, Lord? And he said this just talking out loud, just like this guy standing here, just like God was standing beside him. He goes, Lord, where'd I put my glasses? This guy said it was so strange, and it came out just so natural, just like God was right beside him. And I thought about when I read that story, you know, that's how it should be for us. It just be like God's right there. And we have a need, we just say it right then. Do you ever lose your glasses and find them, you got them on your head or something? You know what I'm saying? Some of you laugh, you know what I'm talking about. And But that's how natural it should be for us. The psalmist here says, because he's inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know, we should develop longer and stronger prayer lives. Now, by way of application, how much do you pray in a given day? Now, would prayer be something that comes natural and easy? Yes or no? For the believer, it should be somewhat natural, but does it come easy? If you got a house full of kids, does it come easy? No. But guess what you have to do? You carve out a time, and you make a time. And this is my time and God's time. In the New Testament, God says, go into your prayer what? Closet. How big is a closet? Big enough for maybe one? Do you know what I'm saying? Depends on your closet. But it's a time for you and God. You have a place, and you have a time, and this is my time and God's time. Now, why do we need to pray? Look at verse 3. Is this a cursed world? Think of the cursed world. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell or the grave got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Can anybody a little bit relate to verse 3? Can you relate just a little bit to verse 3? Why do you need to pray? If you live in this world, that's what you're going to find. And it's like one person said, either you're in trouble right now, or you just came out of trouble, or you're heading into trouble. You got problems coming at you. No matter where you're at, it's there in this world. Why do we pray? Because we need a God to help us through this life. Why do we pray? Because this world is filled with that. Now, there's something else in verse 3 that the psalmist brings out to us. He told God, I found trouble and sorrow. Have you ever tried to share your heart with somebody and they just can't enter into your pain? Do you know what I'm saying? You try to share something that really bothered you and really troubled you, and they're just like, and you know they're just in somewhere else land. You know what God's like? Every tear you shed, he understands. And every groan that you groan, he knows how you feel. Because we have a high priest that is acquainted with all of our sorrows and our pain. And we can pour out our pain and our sorrow because that's where we find ourselves. And the psalmist says, I found trouble and sorrow. And what do you do with that? Well, then in verse 4, he comes right back. Then I called upon the name of what? The Lord. If in your Bible, I don't know if it's capital O, capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God, the self-existent God. What does it mean, self-existent? I mean, he's always is. He always was. He always shall be. He's Almighty God. He has the power. He's Lord. I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now, what does praying do for you? Does every time you pray, does that change your circumstances? Not necessarily. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I'll tell you what it does change. It can change you. Because sometimes if your burden is great, God can give you strength on the inside to bear it up. And when you don't know how to deal with life and what to do, God can just reach down and give you that strength for today. I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You know, we can pour out to God the innermost being that we have and our struggles, and we can ask him to deliver us. Moses at the Red Sea, Egypt's Pharaoh's armies coming behind them. They look this way, they got the Red Sea. They look this way, they got Pharaoh's army. That's a bad situation to be in. And what did God do? He made a way when there seemed to be what? No way. He parted the waters. And for us as believers, sometimes God can make a way when there seems to be no way. God can make a way. He can deliver our souls in ways we cannot even understand. The psalmist said, I called upon the name of the Lord. That's where we take our burdens and our sorrows. Now, what kind of God do we pray to? Who is our God? Is he indifferent to our feelings? Is he? Verse 5, gracious is the Lord. That's the God we pray to. Gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. When you go to God, now this is what the devil will do to you. You go to God and the devil is going to bring up every distraction, everything that would break fellowship with you and God. He's going to make your mind go everywhere it shouldn't go. And you know what you say? The devil brings something up that you've asked God to forgive you and cleanse you of. And the devil brings that up. And when you're trying to pray, you say, that's been covered under the blood of the Lamb. That's been forgiven. That's in my past. That's been covered by the blood of Christ. And I have a bright future and I have a great God. Gracious is the Lord. Do you see God that way? Now, what's unfortunate in this present world? Some of us have had a bad earthly father that's treated us bad. And we reflect that back on God. If our earthly father treated us well, maybe this is how our heavenly father treats us. But you have to realize God is gracious. God is merciful. God is a good God. And you can always go to him and carry your burdens and your sorrows to him. He's a God that knows us and cares about us. That's the kind of God we pray to. And in verse 6, the psalmist does a little inward reflection here. He thinks about his life before God. The Lord preserveth the simple. Now, stop right there for a minute. Have you ever done something really stupid? The Lord preserveth the simple. You ever done something you look back on and say, oh, no, why did I ever do that? Or why did I ever say that? You ever said something to your spouse that you wish you never said? You know, words are like toothpaste. It comes easy out of the tube, but it's hard to put it back in again. That's how our words are. And, you know, the Lord preserveth the simple. You know, we make mistakes. God knows that. We're going to do things and say things we wish you never did or say. We're going to do things that are embarrassing. If people knew what I just did or said, I'd be so embarrassed. The Lord preserve. God knows we're foolish. That's why he gave us this little term, S-H-E-E-P. What is that? We are what? Sheep. Are sheep very smart? No, they're not very smart. He calls us that. But he's the good shepherd. He preserves the simple. He watches over us. I was brought low. I did some things that I was not very proud of. I was brought low, and he what? He helped me. Is that an encouragement? Is that a hope for us? Because sometimes we're stuck in verse 6. We've done some things, or we have made some problems for ourselves or for others. I was brought low, and he helped me. You know, sometimes we can be there in verse 6, but as a psalmist works through there, and he looks at the how he feels inside about himself and what he did. He has some encouragement in verse 7. He says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. You know, on the inside of you, how do you feel? Do you have a measure that you feel like a failure, that you feel like just totally washed out? You feel empty inside? You just don't know what to do? You know, when you feel like that, you just pour it out to God. Just tell God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is how I feel about myself. And you know what? The psalmist says, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me, with thee. We have that hope that God doesn't reward us after our iniquities. He doesn't punish us after our sins. He's a good God. And we can find rest in our soul. You know, one person phrased it like this. We can have peace at the center. Do you hear what that? Peace at the center. We know God. And God knows us. And we can rest in his care that he holds us in the hollow of his hands. That we can have rest at the center. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. That our innermost part of our being can rest in God as we pray and seek his face. And he blesses us. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You know, David, when Saul was pursuing him, I remember one time David was on one side of the mountain and Saul and his men were on the other, and they were doing this kind of thing. They were being chased. And David didn't know how to get away from Saul because his men were there and they were just like, he was trapped. And David, he didn't know what to do. And he's crying out to God, God, deliver me. And all of a sudden, Saul gets word. The Philistines have invaded the land. Oh, so Saul and his men, they leave to go fight the Philistines. And guess what? David's okay. David is spared. And can you hear that in verse 8? For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You ever been in that moment that just at the last second God helps you? Charles Haddon Spurgeon told this story about Charles Wesley in England. Charles Wesley went to this small town to preach the gospel. Charles Wesley is there, and the people didn't want to hear it. This town just did not want a mob gathered together against him. And they said, we're going to throw you in the horse pond. And so Charles Wesley ran into this house for safety, locked the doors, locked the windows, ran upstairs, and they were beating on the doors trying to knock it down, broke all the glass out of the window trying to get him. They actually went up on the roof and started pulling the tiles off the roof to try to get into the house to get him. And Charles, he was upstairs in the attic hiding from them, and he could see their heads looking down through the roof as they pulled the tiles off. But he's on his knees, God, deliver me. God, deliver me and help me. He's begging God. And at that moment, one of the men that got into the house that was a leader of this gang that was wanting to run him out of town and kill him came into the house and came upstairs and said to Charles Wesley, we'll spare your life if you promise never to come back to our town again. And he looked right at this man and said, I can't do that. God called me to preach to God. I can't say that I'll never come back. But the guy that was a leader wanting to spare his life said, if you promise you won't come back immediately, I'll let you go. And he says, well, I'm not doing much good here now. And so the guy took him and got him out through the crowd, and he left town safely. But he said in his diary that when he saw the heads of those men through the roof and he was begging God to deliver his life, he thought he was done. But a few moments later, he was on a horse heading out of town, safe. Can God be like that? He'll take you right to the edge, but then he'll deliver you. And do you hear the psalmist here as he's rejoicing? For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You'll be in a situation that you don't think there's no way out of, there's no future here, there's no hope for me, and God will deliver you. Because verse 9 says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of what? The living. And he's our deliverer and our hope. And verse 10 says, I believed and therefore I have spoken. You know, Paul quotes this in the New Testament, this very phrase, I believe and therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Those that could help me wouldn't help me. Those that would help me shouldn't have helped me because they weren't able to help me. And the psalmist says, all men are liars. He says, God is my hope. What shall I render in the Lord for all of his benefits? God is my only hope. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? You ever been there? You ever thought about what God's done for you in your life? You ever thought about it? You know, we can complain about so many things, but we don't know how good we got it sometimes. You know, there's a story that a man one time was complaining, didn't have any shoes. Walking down the street barefooted, complaining, I don't have any shoes. Then he turned the corner, some man that didn't have any feet. And he looked down at his feet and said, God, thank you for my 2 feet. You know, it's always somebody that's worse than you in your problems. And you ought to thank the Lord for the ways he's blessed you and all the benefits he's given to you. And you ought to start naming them. Somebody said, if you started thanking the Lord for everything he's done for you, you'll never have time to complain. His benefits toward me. Well, the psalmist says, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows. Now in the presence of all of his people, I'll do what I say. I'll live a godly life. But ultimately, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, When you're in high school, did you look forward to graduation day? Did you look forward to graduating when you were in high school? Was that something you're looking forward to, that, well, I'm going to be out of here and you're going to graduate? And did you ever think about the day that you die, that's graduation day for you? That you're moving out of this world of sin and sorrow and going into a place where there's no more sin and no more sorrow, no more sickness and no more death? You ever thought about that great and glorious day? And why does God say precious in His sight is the death of His saints? Because He's welcoming you home. He's saying, come on home. This is where you're going to live for eternity with me. I read two stories one time. Joseph Stalin, who killed millions of his own people. On his deathbed, his daughter told this story, that when he was dying, he was angry. He was angry. And he was screaming and yelling. They're saying, they're coming to get me. They're coming to get me. And he said, there they are. And he pointed in a corner and his family would turn and there's nothing there. He said, there they are. They're going to get me. That's how Joseph Stalin died, screaming, they're coming to get me. Another man, when he was dying, D.L. Moody, he's dying on his deathbed, taking his last breath. And he said to his family and friends, he said, if this is death, it's glorious. He says, I see heaven opening. If this is death, it's glorious. I see heaven opening. That's how D.L. Moody died. That's how two men died. One didn't know God. One knew God. One had fear and death. The other was saying, if this is death, it's glorious. You know, precious in the sight of the Lord is what? The death of His saints. It's graduation day. We're going home. We're going home. In verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. You know, God holds us in the hollow of His hand. He said, no man's able to pluck you out of my hand. He calls all of His sheep by name. He knows each of us. And when He calls us home, it's at the right time, not a minute earlier, not a minute later, in His own perfect time. He has a plan and a will for each of us. God knows what He's doing. And all we have to do is rest in I'm His servant. He's my master. I'm His servant. And until that day appears, He calls us home. Verse 7, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll praise you, God. I live in a sin-cursed world, death, sorrow, and sickness. But I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you, Lord, for who you are and for saving me, for answering my prayers, for being with me through my life. And again he says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. He has that relationship with God. He loves God. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. The Christian life, to live for God. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. That's Psalm 116. What a great psalm it is for us as believers. You know, this week, draw near to God. You have a great God. He loves you. He cares about you. Draw near to Him. And let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for what we looked at in Psalm 116. What a gracious God we have as believers. And Father, You're a good God. You answer prayer. You sustain us. You watch over us. You know us, God. So bless us as Your people. And Lord, thank You for our communion time. And I pray You'd bless it for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.